welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, your host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. As always, Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Been doing business about 20 years. Buying and selling gold and silver is what everybody understands. I do a lot with coins, millions and hundreds of millions over the years. And we do a lot with investment portfolios. We love to help people invest. To be quite frank, we've been getting inundated pretty heavily lately, surprisingly. It's sort of the sixth sense, I think, of people. I have watched over the years people's behavior in this industry, unbeknownst to them, predicts the future. I cannot tell you, literally, I don't think there's ever been a time when we did not sell out, completely sell out of metals right before big rallies. We're not there yet, but we are seeing a very strong influx of activity. I've also traditionally seen where we always end up with tons of metals before a big correction. And, you know, you might think, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, people buy high, sell low. No, people buy low and sell high. They actually buy high and sell low, too. I've seen my share of that. But it doesn't make sense because people don't know the future, right? I mean, they really don't. So how do they predict it? It's very much like an animal before a storm. However, this is economics. So how do they know economics? One of the biggest things, by the way, Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. One of the biggest deceptions that's been pulled over on people in this century is the fiat reserve federal, you know, whatever, the fiat currency system, the Federal Reserve System, Keynesian economics. It truly is the greatest of great deceptions. One thing that's absolutely baffling that you've got to understand, the desire for gold and silver is innate. God put it in you. It is not just random, okay? You can go back through history. You can go back to the 92 study at Harvard with young children and pure gold coins. And putting them in a room and letting them acclimate, and then introducing them to a pure 1 ounce gold coin. They would overpossess and control the coin far superior to anything else. Add another child to the room, let that child acclimate, then introduce that child to the coin, and in something like 17 out of 20 cases, or 7 out of 10, or whatever it was, literal conflict broke out, either verbal or physical, over that gold coin. Wars throughout history, surround gold. They basically are gold-centric. It's a huge part of who we are. It's a massive part of our history. It's the way God made it. I mean, I've said this before. Think of the baffling concept. Go through Genesis 1 and Genesis. You know, I believe the Bible's chronological, at least in Genesis. That's, you know, pretty obvious. In the beginning, God did this and that. I shouldn't say the Bible. In Genesis. And, you know, God introduces us to terms and facts and concepts as time goes on based on priorities and importance, right? You know, that's why it's so important for the devil to attack creation, because it says in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if you negate that, you negate it all. And people read books front to back, even though the Bible you can read all over and get tons of inspiration. People that don't know read front to back. And then what did he create next? Adam and Eve. So what does Satan bring into us? Adam and Steve, right? You got to take that away. And then we start to attack life through abortion and everything. Well, by Genesis 2, what's God give us? Gold. He tells us that where there's gold, he says, the gold in that land is good. Tov, T-O-W-B, T-O-V-B, the greatest complementary Hebrew rabbinical phrase in existence, the highest, most positive termed word. In today's society, we'd call it a green word. It's a good word. It's a go word. It's positive. It's as uplifting as any word in the Old Testament. It's as uplifting as any word in Hebrew. I think God waited until language had developed and stabilized before he had Moses write his word. Perhaps the ancient Hebrew stabilized in the 400 years they were in captivity. I don't know. But I think that, you know, God spoke through man and inspired him to write the word. And he hand-selected words for a reason. That's the point of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls show us, give us evidence that the scripture we read today is so similar to the scripture that was written thousands of years ago, it's impossible. It's impossible. There's no other transcripts that exist like this. There's no, and there's more evidence of it, and there's more manuscripts in it. You just go on and on. People that want to doubt it, they have no leg to stand on. Absolutely none. The perfection, the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran showed us, you know, books like the book of Isaiah from 1600 BC was only off by six minute punctuation points with a copy that had been written in our most recent copy before the Dead Sea Scrolls was 1000 AD. So like something like over 2,000 years of rewriting the manuscript, there'd been no change. So by Genesis 2, the point is God introduces gold. Not an accident, folks. I mean, he's dumping the majors on us. That's a major. That's a huge thing, okay? So you got to understand when man has this one idea that they know better than God, I'm sure that's a novel concept to you. You've probably never thought about the fact that it's not uncommon for man to say, hey, I can do my own thing. I'm smarter than God, right? I mean, this is what we do with economics. So man, aka Keynesian economics, John Maynard Keynes, hardcore, radical, Marxist socialist, absolute nut job, total anti-capitalist, who literally speaks out against capitalism, creates the economic system that our entire society and world is based upon. Does that make sense to you? It sure doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think it's an accident. I really don't. I think that it is absolutely by design. In fact, I know it is. I can sit and act like I'm speculating. There's no doubt. They have introduced socialism, communism, Marxism to the depths of our society. So if all of our financial behaviors and economic behaviors and all this stuff are based on what's wrong, okay, on anti-biblical beliefs, if that's the case, if it's all based on wrong, what do we do as believers? It's a novel concept because, you know, God gave us real money. He said gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. I get people asking me occasionally, usually young people, about real estate. They're saying, well, you talk about real estate and you say that you're in real estate, so should we get into real estate? And they're saying, we're thinking about an income property, blah, blah, blah. My whole thing is they're like, well, I want money. I want to get my money into something that's going to pay me dividends or pay me this or do that. And maybe they watched an infomercial on TV or whatever. But as I've said before on real estate, especially if you're at the lower end and you just want to buy a property to rent out, good luck. I mean, you need to really do the math because what are you going to do? You're going to finance the property. Now you're going to pay interest, right? You're going to take a down payment out of your pocket, which now you're losing the time value of your money on that case. And then you don't realize you're going to have taxes and insurance. And hopefully you know, and don't end up with PMI insurance on the loan. That's the biggest scam around. But you're going to have maintenance costs. You're going to have vacancy in that rental. But you are going to have repairs and maintenance costs, whether you think so or not. And you are going to have vacancies. Sure, you might get lucky. You get that superstar renter. You know, they're in there for 4 years. You never have a problem. All of a sudden, something happens. They're gone. And you've spent 4 months, you know, trying to refill the place or whatever it is. That's your best case scenario there. But even if you had 4 months of vacancy in 4 years, that's still just, it's about, what is that, 8 or 9% vacancy. That means 8 or 9% of your expected income's gone. If you go through every couple years, the average rental, I think, is 17 to 18 months. If you figure every 17 to 18 months, you got a 2 month waiting period, which it always is. I mean, it's very rare that you get, the drop in the door now. But anyway, so you got a couple months every 18 months. You know, what does that figure out to be? That's 1 out of 9. That's 11.1% vacancy. So anyway, those kinds of things, they add up. Then you get the big ones. You get the re-roof, and you get the broken foundation, and you get the carpet problem, or you get a huge plumbing issue or an electrical, or the furnace that goes out, or the water heater that goes out. And trust me, folks, it will. Or the broken pipe. Sure, you're like, well, I'll call insurance on the broken pipe. Yeah. And then you end up on their, I forgot the name of the list. There's a list that actually tracks the insurance history by property. Okay. By property. If you do not respond, I mean, if you file too many claims on a property, you will get declined for insurance. You'll get canceled and declined. So enough is said about that. It's still real asset because you sit and cultivate it and waste all your time, energy, efforts, and money, scrambling around this property. And when it's all said and done, it's still worth, probably close to what you paid in this market. Right now, that's another thing. Right now, real estate, it's a bubble. Well, let's be honest. It's a bubble. Stay away. You got to ask yourself, when do you buy and when do you sell? So what we get now, when the metals are, basically solid sitting, we'll say, and numismatic coins are stand strong but solid sitting, everyone wants to flee. They're like, what's our strategy? We're not making money on this, man. What do I do? And the thing is like, folks, there are people losing their tail in all these crazy investment strategies all over the place. I mean, you have to understand that the number of people that lose money in investments all the time. And until you experience it, you don't know what it's like. I mean, I've been there, and it's a wake-up call. Just having your money in a secure setting is a wonderful, beautiful thing. It is, it's peaceful. It's pleasant. You don't try to get rich quick. It's not, you don't go for the greed. The modern thing that everybody's asking me about now is Bitcoin. Okay. Folks, use your head. Have you seen the graph of this stuff? Okay. If you look at the graph of Bitcoin, what is Bitcoin? This is the thing. I get asked about this stuff all the time. Why? Oh, it's the big hype. It's the hot thing. It's the blah, blah, blah. People are like, this is the secret for the future of cashless society and blah, blah, blah. Folks, it is a fiat currency. Oh, no, it's not. It's made by the work energy of a computer, okay? Look at all the possibilities. So what happens down the road when our processing abilities accelerate so rapidly that to make a Bitcoin takes 2 seconds? That day will come. You know it will. You know that technology will ultimately outpace production. Either way, they'll say, well, you'll make more Bitcoins. Okay, good. Let's make a lot more Bitcoin when computers can make more. What's that called? Inflation. Okay, now the problem is the Bitcoins take a long time to run the algorithm. They're becoming more scarce and rare. But what's most important is the hype around them. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. Okay. It's a cryptocurrency that has gone from, you know, in 2010, nothing. It basically stayed low under 200 until like 2016, with one exception. And now it's shooting up to $7,500. And I've got people that are literally just begging me to get them permission to do this stuff. Not that it's my choice what they do, but I've got people begging me for permission to buy cryptocurrency, to buy Bitcoin. And then when I say this, well, you know, it's expired. The algorithms are too long. And people go, that's why there's new cryptocurrencies. We got to get in the new cryptocurrency. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the multi-level marketing craze of the 80s. Those people that got in first made a ton of money, right? And, oh, man, there's a new multi-level over here. There's a new multi-level over there. I remember the 90s. Oh, it's ACN, you know, phone streaming, like which we now call, I don't even know what you call Skype, where everybody can see each other. And then before that, it was, you know, it was phone cards, and it was, they had a multi-level gold thing. I've seen it all, right? You've got it all. Bitcoin is the same thing. What do you have and where is it? You say, oh, it's easy. I can trade my Bitcoin with so-and-so and there's places to trade. Okay, who is it? What is it? Where is it? What is it? It's Bitcoin. Okay, well, what about gold and silver and coins and stuff that falls in the sector that God endorsed and authorized? Bitcoin is man-made. It's not man-mined. Okay, think about it. When you mine gold, it's an element that God placed in the earth for us to find. And I'll tell you something ironic about gold. As we mine gold, the world's supply remains constant. This baffles me. So as we mine more and more gold, it gets a little harder to get. When we had a surge where we needed it, it got a little easier. But the long story short of it is, there is the same amount of gold per person on earth now, roughly above ground gold, as there was back thousands of years ago. Do you think that's a coincidence that God set it up that way? I don't, okay? It's not man, it may be man-mined, but it's God-created, okay? When you make Bitcoin, it's man-mined and man-created. And so when you see this stuff going absolutely ape wild and the prices are going through the roof and you're like, I'm missing out. Whenever you feel that feeling you're missing out on something, do not envy, you know, riches and the wicked and all that. Don't be jealous. If you get that, oh my gosh, I got to get in, I got it. That's when you run. I've learned in my financial experience in life, when you feel that, get away as fast and far as you can, because that is never the instinct you want driving you towards a financial decision. The truth is, one day it will collapse. There's no doubt. It may be a month, year, I don't know. Not to mention now we've got the blockchain, which is threatening Bitcoin, because now all the privacy of it is under threat. They have this whole thing like where brokers are warning that Bitcoin futures could literally destabilize the real economy. The chairman of the largest electronic brokerage firm in the United States took out an ad in the Wall Street Journal to warn regulators about Bitcoin futures. Interactive Brokers Chairman Thomas Peterfy doesn't think Bitcoin's ready for the futures market and said Bitcoin futures will pose the largest risk to the economy that the economy's seen because of its instability and pure venture capitalism. Okay, it's garbage in the long run. Now, you'll say, well, look, Kevin, when it was 7,000, you said it was garbage and now it's 10. The graph, the chart, folks, I've seen it from 2010 to 16, it's flat. And now it's just like a rocket being launched from the NASA launch pad, you know, into orbit. I mean, so what? It's shooting straight up through the moon. Does not mean it's a good investment. What have you ever seen ever do that? That's a good investment. I'm not that old, I guess. Maybe not old enough. I'm 51. But I can tell you in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like that that ends up being reliable or stable. And I've got a pretty strong education in economics and finance and mathematics and analyzing financial data and things like that. Never seen one that I would consider good. Never seen one that performs and holds tight, right? It doesn't do it. It's a fiat currency, whether you want it to be or not. What makes Bitcoin valuable? Let's be honest. It's if you and I agree, it's valuable. That's it. And you might think, well, it's the same thing with gold and silver. Okay, people say that. Well, how do I know my gold and silver is going to be worth something if all blank breaks loose? Okay, well, to be honest with you, all I can give you in that question is the Bible. If you do not, I can also based on historical performance. So let's go back and look. Depends on your belief of history. Pre-flood, we've got God mentioning gold in Genesis 2. Pre-flood. So we know gold was currency pre-flood, right? Okay, so we got that down. Then, after that, we've got the good old flood. And then after the flood, we know currency became the primary form of, or currency. Gold became the primary form of wealth and currency on earth after the flood. So we know that it's got this continuous track record. We know that God used it in the temple. We know that God told his people to use it. We know that God told his people to gather it up when they were conquering other people. We know that God laid claim to it and claimed that it was all his and that he wanted his people to have it, right? Solomon spent his life accumulating it to build the temple. We have the very first gift given to God's son on earth was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We've got all kinds of examples in the New Testament about a certain man named Jesus being sold out for silver, not Bitcoin. They didn't say that Judas took 12 Bitcoins to sell Jesus out. And we go all the way to the end of the Bible. Well, I guess depends where you're reading. But in three occasions where it discusses the final day, the day of wrath, the end of the end, when the last bell rings and all blank is breaking loose, it says people will finally do what? Cast their gold and silver in the streets. Why? Because it will no longer buy them salvation. Okay? So, based on all that, and based on the fact that God blessed the patriarchs with it, based on the fact that God mentions it as a component of wisdom in Proverbs, based on the fact that God uses it as an example of the most highest level of refinement you can get in your life, you know, on and on. You get the point? We literally know that heaven is made out of gold, folks. Heaven. I mean, it's not, people say, oh, lampstands, read it. People say, oh, there's the joke about Peter where somebody says they can bring whatever they want to heaven, so they bring a gold brick, and Peter says, why'd you bring pavement? And so people confuse scripture with a joke, and they say, well, the streets of heaven are paved in gold. They are, but so is a lot of other things made out of gold in heaven, a lot of other things. So then you compare that to Bitcoin. You've got man-made currency based on debt. I mean, it's essentially based on one man's debt to another. It does require a decree. It requires somebody to sustain it and say it's good. Precious metals do not require that. Precious metals require no man's endorsement because they've got God's. So please understand, all logic goes out the window with Bitcoin just because it's hyped. You know, folks, back in the day, I'm not sure when it was, there was the tulip craze, okay? And it went nuts. It went, the thing, tulip mania took place back in the, 1600s, 1700s maybe. And it was in, I should have studied this before the show. But anyway, in Europe, tulips went crazy. It created an economic bubble. People got crazy about investing in tulips. They had tulip markets, tulip futures. Tulips had become so expensive, and different kinds of tulips were worth so much more than others. I'm reading here. It says that the bulbs of some tulips were offered for sale between 3,000 and 4,200 guilders or florins, depending on the size, which at the time, the average skilled craftsman made 300 guilders a year. So the average skilled craftsman at the time, say, made 45,000-50,000 a year. And here's a tulip bulb that was trading at 10 to 14 times a yearly wage. So right now, we would call that 50,000 a year times 10 is 500,000 times 14 would be $700,000 for a tulip, for a flower bulb that may not even grow. This was crazy. So guess what happened? It crashed. Shocker. Guess what survived? Everything that God said would survive. Sure, humans will surround things that God made and pump hype into them, like real estate. The reason that we have real estate bubbles in our country, in the world, is because of the Fed. The Fed wants more than anything to loan money, okay? They've got to loan money to create currency. They've got to create currency to make money. Real estate is the ultimate vehicle to do that. They just keep lending and lending and lending and lending, enrolling and refinancing and developing and expanding and growing and doing second mortgages and home improvements. And it is a money cow. And believe it or not, we are in another real estate bubble. We really haven't learned much. We really haven't learned much at all. And the market's getting crazy. People are getting into escalation clauses. In other words, a friend of mine who's a really good realtor, great guy. If you ever need a realtor, use a guy named Randy Wells, but tell him I sent you. He's in Spokane. He's at the very top, started at the bottom in the 90s. I've known the guy, 6'6", beautiful person, hardworking, amazing guy. The best. You know, he's at the top of the top. I don't think there's many ahead of him. There's some groups or whatever, but he's just earned his way to the top through integrity and all kinds of stuff. But he, you know, he's had houses that he put out at 800,000 that four people will go to war and end up at 950 in 2 days. It's that out of control right now. So that's a bubble, folks. I'm not saying there's not nice property that can be underpriced, but I'm just telling you, we're in another bubble. So the Bitcoin's a bubble too. Prove me wrong. I show me one thing in history that has ever performed like Bitcoin has recently, by the way, recently, remember that this isn't a permanent thing, and I'm getting so much activity, and I've getting people say, Kevin, when Bitcoin was 400 and I asked you, you said to stay away from it. And now it's 6,000. I'm like, yeah, because my primary criteria for where you put your money isn't based on whether or not you can get a short-term profit. That is foolishness. We don't take the path of least resistance just because it pays better. I talked about that on the last show. You do the right thing. What if a nation built itself that way? What if a company built itself that way? You know, just chasing fantasies, chasing hype. It doesn't work. banks won't loan on that. Nobody will build a corporation based on that because it's so temporary. There's every indication it won't last. Something will come in and change it. Something is going to happen. It's too much. There's too much money in it. When you get that much money in something, somebody's going to find a way to get the money out. And if one case of concern is the government, I'm afraid that the stinking government is going to jump in and start to regulate and control transactions. People say, oh, it'll work in a cashless society. Sure. Until a bunch of terrorists are caught using Bitcoin and all of a sudden it becomes popular sentiment for everyone who doesn't have it to say, shut it down. And all of a sudden, Google and whoever else, to be politically correct, just says, we're going to block all transactions on the internet. Or we're going to go in and shut a guy down who's making a market in it or whatever. Folks, this stuff happens. I mean, it happens overnight. You think they're so, you know, look at Dread Pirates Robert, Dread, whatever his name was, Dread Robert Pirate, Jed. Whoever the guy was that started the Silk Road, the dark web. The reason that Bitcoin was created was because of the dark web. The dark web was a place where you would go put all this software on your computer, and then you could surf completely anonymously without being traced. And then you had all these, anything you wanted available to you. And I mean anything available. And it was the new free market. And then the FBI got involved deeper and deeper because volume got so big that Dread Pirates Robert, which whatever, I'm sorry, but I think that's his name. He got like life in prison, which was a scam. Because the thing got so big, he had to let other people in. And then he had a guy fake him out and act like he was this huge volume dealer. And then he got all of his information and they found out. So then they arrested him. And then after that, there'd been multiple Dread Pirates, Robert Pirate, whatever the heck it is, that had held the post over the years. And then so the FBI created a fake one and started ordering hits on people because they really didn't have anything on this guy. So they ordered hits from a fake persona of his. And then at that point, he got locked up for life. But the point is, when they decide they don't like it, or if our government decides that it helps to exacerbate drug crime, that's what they, you know, you're done. I mean, whether it's right or wrong or free market or not, folks, when we've got Keynesian economics and a tax bill that is trying to be shoved through that is becoming a joke, I mean, we've got this garbage where we're like, well, we really can't lower taxes because we have $1.5 trillion in excess debt every year. And it's like, well, go look at what we spend money on. If you really look at it, it's not just, you know, we hear about, you know, the study of the mosquito biting an elephant, you know, in extremely humid weather. Does it affect the elephant more than if the elephant's standing up or lying down? Oh, we better put a few million into that. Or where we have, what do you call them, shrimp on treadmills, or, you know, just terribly dumb studies that tons of millions of dollars go into. We all know about that. But that's not where the big waste is. The big waste is in $1 trillion going overseas each and every year to other countries. Obama was shelling out money at a pace you cannot even imagine. He designed a system to break the back of this nation, folks. He designed a system to bust our backs. He was brilliant. Just as Saul Alinsky said that we have the 8 forms of control and the most important, where he said, How to Create a Socialist State by Saul Alinsky, and that there are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you're able to create a socialist state. The first is the most important. And then he says healthcare. And then my phone rang and I lost my train of thought. Shocker. So Anyway, how about that? I apologize. My phone shouldn't ring, but that's what happens when you have it on Do Not Disturb, but your wife's on your VIP list. So anyway, so I don't remember where I was going on that, but my apologies. Sincerely, gosh darn it, that's frustrating. Well, let's just talk about Saul Alinsky's ways to destroy a state. Oh, I remember. We've got $1.5 trillion in debt that we can't stop spending. We're shelling money overseas, and I said Obama really hung us out. Obama still got his, you know, OFA, you know, Organization for Action to Destroy America, and he's on it, right? So he's the guy that got this. He infiltrated this system with things like this debt. Increase the debt. This is Saul Alinsky. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes and produce more poverty. And then he's got this other thing. Let's see down here. Class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent and it'll be easier to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. The problem is, folks, they're not taxing the wealthy. They're taxing everybody who's productive. So what happens now is even under Trump, we reduce the tax on the poor and raise those limits so that they're going to get madder and put more pressure on those that produce. The socialism does the opposite, okay? It makes the productive members of society your slaves. The unproductive members of society reap the benefits of those that produce. Remember the attacks on the 1%, those filthy, rotten, wretched 1%, those vile, evil people? They took all your money. If they weren't rich, you'd be rich. Folks, I can tell you two things. One, from tons of experience in the business world, no offense, but 97% of you can't do it. You can't build a business. You don't understand the inner workings. You don't have the drive. You don't have the hunger. You don't have the ability. There's people that are phenomenal entrepreneurs. They've got the best ideas in the world, but they're terrible business people. That's very common. Okay. So first of all, those filthy, wretched 1% end up there by accident or not, don't end up there by accident. That's where they say, if you did take all the money and spread it all out evenly again, the wealthy would end up with it again, because that's the way they think, operate, and act. Okay? It's just what they do. So the socialism is exactly the opposite of what God intends. The other number two I was getting at is this zero-sum thinking is a lie. Zero-sum thinking says that if you've got it, I don't. I actually ran into this with a businessman who I shared space with at one time, and we had, you know, some differences in our products, and he was very aggressive, we will say, at trying to prevent customers from visiting me before they visited him. And I was like, sir, why would you do that? And he says, because there's only so much money in the world. And if they spend it with you, they're not spending it with me. This was a Christian man. These things blew my mind. I went through a year or two of absolute, you know, spiritual reevaluation, because that's just not how I thought it was supposed to be. We don't put money first. We're not supposed to see people as money, etc. But some do, you know. But zero-sum thinking is a lie. We create wealth as human beings. We create wealth. Now, you get into the Federal Reserve System, there's truth to it. And the reason is because every dollar is created by a bank and backed by debt. So there is a fixed amount, relatively. Although the whole argument for Keynesian economics, our Federal Reserve System, is that people foolishly say, well, if we need an unlimited supply of money in order for an economy to thrive. And the whole theory for fiat currency Keynesianism was that when there's economic highs, we'll retract currency. And when there's economic lows, you know, we'll expand the currency supply, which they've never done. They drove us into the crash of 29 and into the depression with terrible monetary policies and no gold backed anything. You know, there's a little bit of zero sum there, but there's not, because with the fiat currency system, you just keep spending and spending and spending and spending because you've got to have the debt. Okay. Everything's backed by debt. You got to have the debt to create, to keep keeping on creating currency. So the problem is we used to go conservatives or warfare, liberals or welfare. So with the pendulum, it swing back and forth. Now both parties are apparently going warfare and welfare simultaneously. Wars are hideous darkness on this planet, folks. They're brutal. They're nasty. We're held from the truth. People's lives are destroyed and lost and wasted in war. But one thing war is good for is bankers. Bankers finance both sides of a war. They should have an international treaty that says they can't, but they don't. And the other problem is, if in the old school, if you went to war as a nation, you had a certain amount of resources that it cost to go to war. If you didn't run out of money, you won, you would go to those that you conquered, and you would recuperate your at least your expenditures. In most cases, you'd just conquer them and take it all, and it'd be yours. And that is the age of the conquest. Now we have the age of the social rehabilitation. If we go to war with an evil country, when we win, we socially rehabilitate them, right? We make them our friends and we give them a better life than they've ever had. We rebuilt Japan phenomenally. And then in the 90s, they came and bought our country up. Now we've got China buying everything up. And I know Trump says China, funny, but he is right. China is our biggest threat, as Trump says. They really are. Russia's a huge threat, too. We've been lied to. I don't know if you remember the debates in the 2012 election when Romney said Russia was our greatest threat, and Obama mocked him and said, oh, you know, the 80s want their, whatever you call it, foreign policy back. Well, guess what? That was at the exact same time that Obama was cutting backroom deals with Russia and Putin and selling them uranium one. Folks, I'll tell you one thing that's come out in all this supposed Russia conspiracy scandal, Russia collusion garbage. It's, of course, garbage about Hillary. Just more and more garbage about the unethical, arrogant behavior of Hillary. A book called Clinton Cash by Peter Schweitzer apparently breaks it down pretty well. But frankly, I mean, I have a close relative who is close to that whole situation and has so much information on it and has read every document and every piece of paper possible. If you had even a fraction of a clue, the level of corruption of the Clintons, you would be blown away. People who become president usually come out to get filthy rich. I find it ironic. If somebody's on the left side, the left will tolerate any behavior whatsoever, literally, right? Up until it's just too late. With Hillary, I mean, she's accumulated riches and she's had corrupt payments pouring into her foundation while she was the Secretary of State. I mean, she was getting $12 million payments. How about $150 million from Russia simultaneously with her agreeing to sell them uranium, or the uranium one deal? And the left's argument is like, well, there were nine secretaries that had to sign off on that, and she, you know, would have had to persuade them. Do you really think that all nine would be easily persuadable? The answer is yes. And the other part of it is they were not given the truth. They were given deceptive lies. So, of course, they voted for it. They didn't know that there was already an indictment hanging out there. And, you know, there's some stuff, folks, that just blows your mind. So back to good old Bitcoin. I'll just end it at that. Bitcoin, folks, you know, if you want to just get really dumb with a teeny tiny amount of your money, go for it. But, man, please be ready for the craziest roller coaster of your life, and probably a 92% possibility of losing a lot of money fast and a 98% relevance of losing a lot of money in months or so, and 100% of eventually losing it all. That's just a fact with good old Bitcoin. So next time someone asks or pushes, you know, we've got these Bitcoin funds. They make no sense. I've got friends that are in them, friends, customers that have bought into these funds that make no sense. You give them this money and they stack the money here, there, and everywhere, and everyone's getting rich. And they've got the money growing, and they, you know, their 8,000 is now 38,000, and they're so excited, and they're going to keep doing it until it's $1 million. And no, you won't. What goes up must come down. Things that go up too fast can't sustain themselves. It's just not normal. I'm trying to think if there's any examples of something that can go up that fast and then hold its ground. And I don't know, maybe certain kinds of real estate, maybe let's say the State Forest Service had a bunch of the most prime real estate on one of the most amazing lakes in America, and they released it to the public, and it went for, you know, a fair price, but some guy bought, you know, hundreds of acres, and then he subdivided it into 20-acre parcels and then sold that, and then that guy went to tens and on down. Maybe you could see that level of growth. But there's no healthy economic behavior that will ever do that. So the moral of the story is you build brick by brick. You just build and store and save and build and store and save. Folks, there's all kinds of scams out there I'd love to warn you about. I mean, there's things that are going to work for a time being, and you're going to think, well, if they work for a time being, I'm doing okay. But it's not the case. When you buy metal, gold, you got your choices, bullion, pre-33 U.S. gold. By the way, we're probably about out of it, but I'm telling you, folks, things have never been this good of a value. I did a package for a guy the other night. I was able to sell him antique $20 St. Gaudens for about this, almost the same price as gold 1-ounce Eagles. They're each the same size coin, with the same picture, except the St. Gaudens from the early 1900s was designed by Augustus St. Gaudens on a circulating coin. The newer gold Eagles are computer modified, and they're meant to never circulate. Great value in dollars right now, folks. We've got a lot of better day dollars by the roll, and I don't mean exotic, crazy stuff, but stuff that, you know, I'm going to be candid. When everybody's pouring their money in a speculative manner into all of these casino level investments. I mean, do you realize Amazon stock, as great as it has ever been, has never posted a profit yet? That's a fact. Amazon has never posted a profit, and yet they're a publicly traded company. Why is their stock so high? Hype. Just hype. Everybody wants it, you know, and it's just, it's the winning Super Bowl team. And when the next correction comes, this one's bigger because this bubble, the prior bubble, was in real estate. Okay. Now we've got real estate, but this bubble is in the stock market. And when it goes, it's going to go. And I think it's very foolish for Trump to tie his name to the performance of the Dow, because what goes up must come down. Mark my words. I mean, I am literally sincerely asking somebody, if there are accounts in history, reasonable, rational accounts of things exploding as much as Bitcoin and continuing and never stopping or holding their own, I'm not familiar with it. Bitcoin in a year, year and a half, has gone up about 40 times or 50 times its own value. I mean, whatever it's, can you imagine? Is that good? Sure. If you own it. But other than that, you just, it's not God's way. God's way is you build brick by brick. When things are down and they're inexpensive, just hang in there. Patience. If you're young, you got it made. Load up. Just store it up, store it up, store it up. Because one thing, okay, let's say it stays fairly level. Your obsession with following God's word and saving is, first of all, it's forcing you to build an incredible portfolio that you can then go out someday and maybe can buy an incredible piece of real estate with or whatever. You know, you've got to be willing to save that money, whatever it works. If you put it in your bank account, you're technically being affected by inflation and it's accessible and everything else, which is another thing. When you see metals bouncing around a little bit day to day or gold, it is responding to other world currencies. People say, isn't gold and stock countercyclical? In other words, if stock goes up, gold goes down. It's not a one-to-one correlation. It's economically sensitive in that manner, and it's more sensitive to the pressure being put on the futures market. They created the COMEX during the Federal Reserve Act really to prevent people from staying on the gold standard, because otherwise people would say, heck with you, you keep your paper, I want my gold. So they left a gold clause on the Federal Reserve notes until 1929 to intentionally deceive people into thinking that they were protected by gold. Their argument later was, we forgot, we didn't have time to take it off or something. I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense. So hopefully I've made my point. My point is, there's a certain set of circumstances. I'm telling you, folks, I've been through it with people. I have friends, customers that have gone to brokers, you know, the nicest Christian man on earth. He's so sweet and he's just so kind and soft spoken. He's been had some tough times and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he literally just guts them like a fish, folks. I'm sorry, but I really get tired of it. I get tired of these annuities that people think, like I always say, they think they're making 7%. I don't know why all these brokers have to tell them this all the time. They're not brokers, for starters. They're insurance salesmen. And the insurance salesmen that sell annuities, that's all they are. They're anyone can get the job, anyone. It's easier to get that job than it is to get a job as a car salesman. That should tell you enough right there, that anybody can just go pass a test, which I'm telling you, I don't think anyone flunks the test. And once they get it, they go out and they make themselves appear as financial planners. And all they have is a bunch of annuities, a bunch of insurance products. And insurance companies use your annuity money to run their company, and they set it up so you cannot get it out. You can get it out in the window of maturity, but man, the surrender charges are huge. They give you these false premium bonuses on your bills. I'm just telling you, folks, hear me there. Futures trading, I don't even want to get into it. I've had people come and talk to me about that. It's nothing more than gambling on whether or not metals are going to go up or down a specific amount in a specific period of time. If it doesn't achieve the target numbers by the specified date, or if it swings the opposite direction too far during the contract period, you lose everything you invested and more. It's gambling. It has nothing to do with preserving wealth or capital. Mining stocks, I won't even get into. It doesn't make sense. That's just a company. If you want to buy stock in a company, there's a lot better options than mining stocks. Although in general right now, things are severely overbought. Bankruptcy and mining stocks go hand in hand. ETFs, exchange traded funds. That's a fund that's supposed to buy gold for you and keep it in a secure location. It's complete surrender of all your personal information, social security number. You have no physical possession of the metal. They were reintroduced in the mid to late 2000s. They stopped in the 80s because people were absconding their investors of so much stuff. The Dow and S&P 500 are indexes. They're artificial indexes, okay? They basically show really poor nonlinear performance over time, and they use weighted moving averages, and they remove and replace stocks regularly. I have a huge write-up here I won't get it into. People are, like dividends. metals are okay too. With, you know, you can sell off what you need to live on. We have tons of people doing this, so don't underestimate that. Just realize God's got a system for preserving wealth. It's that simple. I mean, it really is. He has a system to preserve your wealth. He's not a fool. He knows what works. If you spend your lifetime accumulating metals-based assets, you will do very well, period. If you spend your lifetime accumulating assets, period, you'll do just fine. If you spend your life speculating in stock markets and paper markets, you will not. Folks, I've been around. I'm telling you, you cannot believe. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed. I've got a lot of experience in that stuff. You cannot believe the strain and stress and misery of that life. People spend their whole life saving into a 401k or IRA, which is also a racket, because you're just deferring the inevitable tax. And if you happen to need money for an emergency or anything, despite their supposed loopholes, which are impossible to fill, you have a 10% penalty that you have to pay. So just be wise. Stick with the real stuff. If you like God, you like the Bible, you think he's right over thousands of years, going all the way back before the flood, maybe that's where you should roll your dice, okay? It's that simple to me. Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, website coinsplus.com. I do list all the previously recorded radio shows there for your listening. If you have specific questions about some of this stuff, call in the evenings, after the show, after 5, whatever, and I'll try to help you out. Please understand, I do get time pressure. There's people that literally want to talk forever. I can't, okay? So I'm not rude. I'll give you time. I've had a few lately that just, I'd love to talk if you were my grandma or grandpa, but I mean, within, I still, you know, 10 or 15 minutes I can handle. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. Take care. God bless you, seriously. And here's a side note. Too bad. I hope all of you got to see the Garth Brooks show. That was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. We'll see you Friday.